Good morning, Chavis and Caller Garden, Chelston Rise. It's Monday the 18th of May, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. Now, during the course of this emergency, our village has been very fortunate. Yes, we've had our COVID-19 cases, and some people have been very poorly indeed. But as far as we know, no one has been hospitalised by COVID-19. We've seen three distinct settlements bond as a community, and we now have a vibrant and trusting network across the village. People ask daily for help. They offer swaps. They share humour and advice. And even yesterday, one of our few missing households became aware of what they were losing out on, and they asked to be connected in. So welcome to them. We've had challenges and disagreements on the way, but all have been resolved without any fallings out. At least I hope so. I would like to think our level of community spirit and engagement is as high as it's ever been in our long history. Of course, there will always be some who don't want to participate, and I've had two households that were very cross indeed at my persistent attempts to check that they were okay. But frankly, these were balanced by the households that were relieved that I'd made contact. Only last week I was contacted by one resident to say that they were in fact struggling. For weeks they've said they were fine, but I knew there was an issue coming, so I was persistent, staying in touch each week. When the call for help came, I was able to mobilise quickly. With the network we now have, I was able to sort out their problems with just two phone calls and the services of two volunteers. So thanks to Sam and Sarah for helping out there. You have definitely made a huge difference to someone's life. Of course, we found out last week that there are always a few who want to spoil the party. Our quad bikers were out and about on VE Day and have been seen out and about several times on footpaths since and bridleways where they just shouldn't be. Reports and photographs came in during the week and their identity was established very quickly. Well, things have now moved on. They were driving up onto the airfield regularly and using the paths and bridleways up there. The owners of that land have taken exception to this and they've decided to take action. They have the number plate of the bike, and they found that it is untaxed, and indeed it's been declared as being off-road and not in use. So multiple laws are being broken. The owners of the airfield have made contact with us and wondered if the village had any idea of the identity of the drivers, as they're making a report to the DVLA and the police on Monday, with clear evidence of what's been going on. Now, taking a very careful legal position, I'm delighted to inform you that it is entirely possible that the alleged identity of this individual has possibly been supplied to the owners of the airfield by person or persons unknown. It is not right that one individual in our community should consider themselves above or outside the law. We should not have to contend with motorised vehicles on footpaths and bridleways. Full stop. Let's see what happens. Now, as we enter our 10th week of lockdown, this pattern of civil disobedience is being repeated across the country. Polling yesterday showed that the support for the lockdown process has plummeted, especially amongst the younger members of the population. The over 50s are generally supportive of the lockdown, knowing that its intent is to keep the R number for the virus well below 1. But the under 50s are losing faith. Their lives have been wrecked in order to protect the vulnerable. It's inevitable that they will start taking calculated risks, and there's evidence that this is already happening. UK death rates yesterday were fantastic, the lowest for a long time, but the infection rates seem to be edging up again, and so we have to watch this space and see what happens. Some startling calculations were released by the Sunday Times yesterday. If the R number can be kept below 0.5, then the virus infection will die out to negligible levels in 16 months. But can we face another 16 months of some form of lockdown? I don't think we can. However, if we allow the R number to creep up to 0.9, then the virus will take 86 months to die out. That's over 7 years. So we face some stark choices. My view, for what it's worth, is the short, sharp shock that we've had was worth it to bring the virus under control. With better planning, we wouldn't be in this mess, but we are where we are. But now the economy must restart and schools must reopen. But things can't go back to the way they were. We must keep up with all the social distancing. We must all wear face coverings and businesses must adapt. The supermarkets have done so, and the evidence is good. Very few supermarket workers are now getting infected, so the problem can be managed. I even saw a blueprint yesterday for the pub of the future. It involved a return to the snug, or the booth, where groups of people were screened from each other whilst drinking or eating. This will be hard to do, but it can be done. Our teachers and schools have always sought to educate and protect the children in their care, and you can be assured that they'll be doing everything they can to ensure that children are as safe as they can be when the schools reopen. We cannot lock up our children at home forever. We've got to manage the risks they face, but we need them to have the right start in life with education and friends. Otherwise, we go back to the dark ages, and none of us want that. Our goal, therefore, is to keep the transmission rates low for the next 2 years whilst continuing to shield our clinically vulnerable residents as best we can. But during this, we have to keep our spirits up. And the Entertainments Committee has two new competitions now up and running. The first is for virtual Chelsea Flower Show Week. Blom's Bulbs are providing hundreds of bunches of tulips, and we're looking for the most creative arrangements around the village. Families can get their tulips at three locations from Monday at 9 a.m. Scaraben in Water Lane, Chelveston, Melrose Cottage in Caldecott, and 24 The Crescent in Chelston Rise. Please make a donation for your tulips. All proceeds will go to the Great Ormond Street Hospital for Sick Children. And Chris Blom, our resident tulip gold medalist, will judge the arrangements on Wednesday. And then we have Pete's Key Worker Scarecrow Competition. But more about this tomorrow. So, Chelveston, Caldecott and Chelston Rise, the coming week is about understanding and managing the risks we all face. The economy must restart. The children must go back to school. But we need to find ways that this can happen safely, and we cannot rely on our government for all of this. It's up to us all to think about everything we do every day. How can we ensure that we are not exposed and that we don't expose others? Over to you. Thank you.